If you would please turn with me to Genesis 6. Genesis 6, we'll be reading 12 through 22. Genesis 6, 12 through 22. Now it came to pass when men began to I didn't even start on the right one. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with a lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing the flood waters on the earth, to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life, and everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing, of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark, to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing on the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them." Thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him, so he did. When we read of Noah's Ark and the worldwide flood, there are lots of people who refuse to believe that's true, but it is. I choose to believe it just as it is written in the Bible. And there are many great lessons that can be learned from this passage. Lessons about the sinfulness of man, the grace of God, and the preservation of human life. In the story of the ark, we can see Jesus and his plan of salvation for fallen man. As we look at this old story, I want you to see it fresh and new. I want you to see Jesus and what he can do for you, for anyone willing to call on his name. Let's look at this together, starting with the plans of the ark. The materials. 6:14 said, "Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch." The gopher wood could be interpreted as a type of humanity. It could be looked at as a type of humanity, the life cycle, if you think about the life cycle of a tree. To build the ark, trees had to be cut down. To provide a way of salvation, Jesus had to be cut down. If you turn with me to Isaiah 53, I'll be reading. "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, every one, to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? Pitch was used to seal the wood. You can think of it as a type of atonement. It covered the wood, and Christ's blood also covers our sins. In John 1:29, it reads, "The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" The pitch, it not only covered the wood, it protected the wood. It made it waterproof. Water was used in this case as a type of judgment. The blood of Jesus protects us from the wrath of God, just as the pitch protected the wood. In Romans 5:9, it reads, "Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God." The room, it had rooms. You can think of rooms as nests, somewhere to rest. When you think about a bird, when it rests, it goes to its nest that it's built. Jesus provides a place for rest for the weary sinner. Let's look at Matthew 11:28. It reads, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There's room for everyone to come. God gives an invitation. He gave Noah an invitation. In chapter 7, verse 1, it reads, "Then the Lord said to Noah, 'Go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation.'" Those who are righteous and want rest were invited to come aboard. The righteous are invited to join God. Revelations 22:17, it reads, "The Spirit and Bride say, 'Come,' and let the one who hears say, 'Come,' and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price." So I didn't know what cubits exactly were, so I had to look it up. And the ark was 450 feet long and 75 feet wide and 45 feet high. That is 33,750 square feet of floor space. And that could be equivalent to 21 basketball courts. So if you think about the last time you're on a basketball court, how big that is, that there's, imagine 21 of those. If you go online and type in Noah's Ark, you can go through Google and see lots of comparisons of Noah's Ark compared to other famous ships. The Nina Pina, or the one, I'm sorry, not good on history, but the ship that Columbus sailed were a fraction, maybe a third of what the Ark was. How many years, thousands of years later, that they finally built the Titanic, and it was actually made of steel, but there were no other bigger ships other than the Ark up until that time. And then Queen Mary is even bigger, for those who've been to the Queen Mary. But it was quite a feat. And Noah built this on total faith. Now let's read John 14, 1 through 3. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." So there's room in heaven for all who will come. The ark had an access. In 6:16 it reads, Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above, and set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. The door. There was only one door into that ark, just as there's only one door into God's salvation. John 10, you can turn with me to John 10, chapter 10. I'll be reading verses 1 through 9. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to him. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. We see that Jesus is the only way. Acts 4:12, it says, and there is salvation in no one else, and for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The ark, it gave a promise. In 6:18, it talks about that promise. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wives, and your sons' wives with you. we can see that God always keeps his word. We can see that throughout the Bible. In 6:18, Hebrews 6:18, it says, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. The sinner who comes to Jesus doesn't need to fear that God will change his mind. And John 6:47 says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. In Romans 4:21, it says, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. The promise was received through obedience. And just like it says in verse 22 of chapter 6, it says, Noah did this. He did all that God commanded. This is how a sinner comes into a saving relationship with God. He obeys his commandments. That's how he comes into a righteous relationship with him. The ark gave protection. In chapter 6, 18 through 20, it says, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing, of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds according to their kinds, and the animals according to their kinds. Of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind, two of every sort shall come into you to keep them alive. The ark promised to protect human life. Jesus will preserve those who will come to him by faith. He saved Noah based off of Noah's faith in him. In 1 Peter 1:5, it reads, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for our salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. A good example, again, Noah's faith. Animal's life. God's plan will ultimately rescue his creation. I have a couple verses here. In Romans 8, chapter 8, 20 through 22. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been growing together in the pains of childbirth until now. The performance of the ark, it rode safely. Everybody made it safe. Chapter 7, 18 through 21, the waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep, and all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, livestock, beasts, all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind. While the world beneath perished, the ark rode safely above the judgment that God sent. The world is falling apart now, but if you're in the ark, you are safe. Not only will the ark of salvation ride out the storm here, one day it will dock on the shores of heaven. Another thing about the ark, it rested securely. Genesis 8:4, and in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. One day the sailing ended and the ark rested. One day our journey will end and we too will rest on heaven's shore. This could be summed up in two verses. Revelation 21:4, it reads, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away." No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. So what Noah did, we will do. Then what I mean by that is in chapter 8, verse 20, it says, "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar." We too will worship God when we land in heaven. If God calls us, are we ready to board the ship? If you're not, then you're in terrible danger. There's no hope for us other than through the grace, sacrifice, and calling for all who obey God's commandments. Genesis 6:22. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. God has given us a plan for salvation and wants you to come on board. Save yourself from the world that is going to be destroyed. God is willing and waiting to receive you and save you. So if there's anyone out there that is not a Christian and wants to be saved, do what God commands and through the saving waters be baptized today. We also extend an invitation to those who have sinned in a public way or just need the prayers of the church. We invite you to come as you stand and sing.